Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the gospel according to St. Matthew from the second chapter, verses 1 through 12. Let's listen together for the word of the Lord. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was, where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem of Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But to you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, and I too will go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star had been seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The family had gathered together around a small table, preparing to eat lunch. Food was placed in front of them, and they began to eat. Suddenly, at that moment, little Willie burst through the door and said, "Come, quick, Grandpa's fallen in the well." Well, you see, they had just begun to dig a new well, and it wasn't very deep. Nobody moved. Willie said, "Come, quick, help, Grandpa fell in the well." They looked at Willie and said, "Willie, the well is only a foot deep now." He said, "Yeah, but Grandpa fell in head first." You might imagine they quickly got up and ran out to pull him out of the mud in the bottom of the hole. And I guess, as far as I know, everything was all right. I don't even know if this is a true story or just one I read somewhere. But think about it. We've come away from Christmas. There was Christmas Eve, and there was the first Sunday after Christmas. And now we're in the season of Epiphany, which means revelation or an understanding. Epiphany is a time when, through our readings of Holy Scripture and our praying and singing together, we come to know more about Jesus and about the life and about his purpose. God became incarnate in the babe, Jesus of Nazareth. Now, I can't tell you exactly what that is. There's a variety of opinions on what incarnation means. But it does mean, I think, in one way or another, that God in Christ came to earth. Why is that important? Well, I know some people who read the scriptures and they think of God as an old man with a long white beard sitting in a rocking chair in heaven and looking out over the earth. That's an image I've kind of gotten from people through the years that they understand. But that's not the case. God came to earth. Why? Well, I presume it was to know or to find out what it's like to have to tread through the mud of this world. You see, there's mud everywhere. I'm not talking about the mud that sticks to your feet and fills the grooves in your boots and adds extra weight as you walk around. I'm not talking about the mud that makes you slip. I'm not talking to you about mud specifically. I'm using mud as a metaphor. When Carolyn and I were in North Brewer, the parsonage was beside a farm. Not a very active working farm, but a farm. And on the top of the hill, there was always mud. It would always gather. I would slip and slide and fall. I was just fascinated with that place. The boys loved to go there and we would walk. But you don't usually imagine a spring of water on the side hill mixing with the topsoil and causing mud and slowing people down. But it was there. And this morning's Old Testament lesson from Isaiah, we learn about the happy movement through life and through the world and where we will come. But the New Testament presents a little different perspective. Jesus, who was born, as we taught Christmas Eve, in a manger, visited by the shepherds, was later visited by the three magi. Now, most of our nativity scenes and most of our understanding is that the magi came on Christmas Eve. I haven't looked here. Are there magi here? Yeah. Yes, there are. Well, the scripture tells us the magi didn't come on Christmas Eve. It was later. They were traveling and trying to find where the star was present, for they knew if they found where the star was, then there they would find the baby. It was a few days after, and King Herod had heard something about what had happened, and he also learned that the Magi were on their way to visit this child. Now, Magi is a term which means king, but it also means person of wisdom, or great wisdom, or king of great wisdom. These three traveling kings were doing their best to reach the child, and Herod intercepted them, and they talked, and they went on their way, and he made them promise to return on his way back. Well, here's where the story gets muddy. Here's God in the world now, incarnate in the babe. The Magi are coming, and Herod is waiting to find out where this child is. Why? To kill him. He didn't want another king, not in the area where he ruled over the people. And the Magi figured it out, and they went back home another way. After they had met the babe, the parents, given them their valuable, valuable gifts, and went on their way. Paul, who wrote a little over half of the New Testament, knew what it was to walk in the mud. You know, that metaphorical mud, that thing that slows us down and challenge us as we try to move. Well, Paul, who was to write so many marvelous theological treatises, was not very well received. In fact, he spent a number of times in prison. And in this particular time, he was in prison again. And he was writing to the church at Ephesus, telling them to beware, because their journey of faith, their response to Paul's teaching, might lead them through the mud, through the things that would hold them back, which would cause them to stick in place. It was a difficult time. Have you ever found yourself in your life in a difficult place? I see some heads nodding. Actually, I see most heads nodding. I think we've got almost everyone. If you haven't had an experience with that mud which holds you back, I say you are truly blessed. For so often in our lives, we hear God's call and we move to try and respond, and we step right smack dab in that mud. That mud which kind of sucks at our boots and won't let us move, at our shoes, at our lives, and keeps us in a place where we don't really want to be, keeps us from moving to the place where we need to be. One of the things that helps us through these difficult times is sharing in the Lord's Supper. Holy Communion. It's a time when we come to know, through one of the means of grace, that is the sacrament, that God is present in our lives. And God is there for us at all times through his Son, Jesus. And the God which is incarnate in Jesus, remember, we mentioned that word earlier, through the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus, Jesus became incarnate in those who follow him. Jesus, God's Holy Spirit, comes to dwell in those who seek to serve and to know the living God. Gets a little complicated. There's not any clear, completely understandable way to let people know that God incarnate in Christ and Christ incarnate in us through the Holy Spirit is the reason God came to earth. You see, God was about to experience everything that we as human beings experience. He was about to experience what it is to be stuck in the mud. He was about to experience what it is to have to flee for your life and go away to a far country, even to Egypt, and stay there for a while so that King Herod would not catch up with you. God incarnate in us through his Son, Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit would come to know firsthand love. He would experience hate. He would know the difficulties of life. He would experience hunger for the first time, perhaps. God came to earth to know exactly what it means to be human and live incarnate in Christ, who was crucified, dead, and buried. You see, God isn't just sitting far off in that rocking chair. God isn't that one with the gray beard rocking back and forth and looking over the world and zapping this and zapping that and zapping this. God is the one who came to earth to live as humanity has lived and to know the struggles of life. So that if you fall, if you take a step backwards, and you will, maybe even after you're 70 or 80 or 90, you may slip and take a step backwards, that God is there to forgive. For God has experienced the world and knows what happens. God loved you so much that he sent his son, who suffered and died to atone for your and my sin. Remember the hymn, How Great Thou Art? I'm trying to think now which verse it is. Anyway, can somebody get me started? I've lost my... What's the first line to, oh, how great thou art? Oh, Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. And then it goes on in verse 3, and when I think that God his son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art, O Lord, to have come down to earth and been part of our lives and continues to be part of our lives through the power of your love, through the Holy Spirit and your Son, Jesus Christ. O Lord, as we share this meal today, help us to know your presence, for you have promised that you will be present in this meal. We don't know how, we don't know where you're going to be. We don't think you're going to be sitting on the piano, and we don't think you're going to be under the tree, but you're present in this meal for us. A meal where we come to understand your grace and your love. A meal that strengthens us physically and spiritually to go from this place into the world to know the wonders of your great love. In the United Methodist Church, we celebrate open communion. That means you are invited to receive this meal if you choose. You don't have to be a member of this church or any church for that matter. All we ask is that you come with an open heart and an open mind. Let's be in the spirit of prayer. Ever-living